Let's talk cards. I'm Zach Blackerby. He's Jamie Crossan. We'll talk about Topps Chrome football because, oh my goodness, it looks incredible. Oh my goodness. But Jamie, can you imagine, you think you've got $1 million, multi-million dollar deal in place for a card and somebody backs out on you?
Yeah, I can imagine it, man, because I've been watching Kevin O'Leary's recent interview. He went a little crazy on a podcast because he has been baptized now into the hobby. He has had the unfortunate circumstance of someone, stop me if you've heard this before, agreeing to a deal, Zach, verbally agreeing, saying, yes, we have a deal. And then them coming back and saying, hey, got a better offer. Gonna have to stop the I'm gonna have to break and I'm gonna have to go a different direction. Yeah. Now, for most of us, that's just an annoying inconvenience. That's something, if you've been in the hobby long enough, you've had that happen to you. Heck, you may have even done that. I mean, we all have made that mistake, or we've made mistakes. Maybe that's one of yours in the hobby. Sure. I have personally, when I make a deal and I say deal and that's it. I mean, my sales that I run, I just concluded another one last night. Every week I have claims trump offers in my Facebook groups, which means if I have a claim, if I'm selling a card like a Kerryon Johnson autograph card, I may say, hey, that's a claim it for $15. And then Zach, you as an Auburn fan might look at that card and say, I'm going to offer you 10. And I say deal. You and I now are in agreement that you're buying that card for $10. And then someone comes along and they say, hey, I'll offer you the full $15. For me, there's a lot of people, and I don't know what's right or wrong for whoever's listening. For me, if I make that deal with you, I'm sticking to that deal, even if I could make the full claim. Once I've said deal, it's done.
Yeah, it's done. The card's no longer for sale.
Correct. A lot of people will say, well, claims trump offers. I've been on the receiving end of that before where I've made a deal with someone and they took that $5 upcharge, you know, for the full claim or whatever it was in the Kerryon Johnson example. And I have never done business with that dude again. I blocked him. That was it. So, yeah, we all have those kind of stories in the hobby. But Kevin, I think, is pretty new to the hobby, you know, even though he's spent $12 million to really jump in the deep into the pool for that triple logo card.
Right.
And it looks like someone may or may not have leveraged his name. Well, that's an assumption based on what I heard in the interview. But, man, the other guy backed out, and now he's talking about not just suing that person, but Zach, anybody who buys or brokers the card after that, whether you're an auction house, whether you're the individual who buys the card, his statement in the pod that he was on as a guest, he said, I see that card as mine. He compared it to diamonds, you know, like rare jewels when you shake a hand and that's just the end of it. And look, man, I'm just going to say it. I'd love to hear your take. This to me is the grown-up billionaire version of I'm going to tell my mommy. This is what this feels like to me. I'm going to go tell my lawyer and we're going to sue everybody. It's that Oprah Winfrey, you get sued, you get sued, you get sued. And I just think it's silly. I'm like, look, man, it's annoying. Is it the wrong thing? Yes, he shouldn't have done that. But unfortunately, if you live in this hobby long enough, this kind of stuff happens. You just cut your loss. You block the guy. If you feel like going on one of these social media bad business pages and throwing him up there, knock yourself out. But when it comes to suing everyone under the sun, kind of feels like a grown-up tantrum. What do you think?
Yeah, and going on a podcast to do just that. You know, Kevin Leary became a celebrity in an interesting way, right, with Shark Tank and having money. And now he's moved into being a celebrity into, you know, the hobby space. And you know, it becomes brought up in conversations around cards because Kevin O'Leary dropped millions of dollars in that triple logo, man. And now he's back. And I think it's great. I think the more big names in the hobby there are, but this does feel like, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home type situation. If you cross me, I'm going to sue you into oblivion. You know, I do think there's a threshold though, where like, you know, to use your example, like a little bit different, $10 or $15, we're talking about millions of dollars. Sure. And if he feels like there's money to be made, and I don't think we know what the card is, correct?
No, I did not. Maybe they revealed that as the
conversation progressed.
I looked
for it after you said you wanted to talk about this, and like I couldn't find it anywhere. And you know, he's made references of like he's got a card coming that'll make grown men weep, was his quote weeks ago. And there was some speculation of like, is it the Curry that's never been found or something like that? And if it's some historic card and he has a chance to, you know, seal the deal on it, and it's like you're truly never going to get this opportunity again, you know, maybe you don't let him get away with it. But I'm with you. You know, handle it, sue the guy, whatever, but going on a show to publicly talk about it, I don't think that was great.
No, I don't think it was great.
He was on with the Ice Coffee Hour guys, I think was the name of their show. They may do another show together, but it was those two guys, which I've listened to from time to time. They do a good job, but you know, props to them for letting you know, I will be your megaphone for you. I think it's a great opportunity for those guys.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Graham Stephan, something like that, I think is his name. So.
Yeah. I guess if Kevin O'Leary came on and wanted to come on to Let's Talk Cards, we'd let him talk cards for a little bit.
If he wanted to come on here and blast, you know, somebody who backed out of their $1 million deal, I'd be like, yeah, sure, come on. So, I mean, I guess I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite there, but yeah, I, if it's out there and y'all know what the card is, comment down below, but yeah, I just kind of wonder, okay, what was the card? What was the card that, you know, he clearly wants way more than the million of dollars that he wants to throw at it.
Are the rules different when you're dealing with $1 million card? I mean, or does the principal tie you the same way it does to a $50 card? I mean, do you feel like the rules change when it comes to something like that?
I think the type of person you talk to is different the higher you get. Like when you're, you know, the guys you go through, it's just a different type of conversation. I think, you know, guy who gets six cards out of a dollar bin and wants to give you $5 or whatever versus... Mm. You know, I mean, even just kind of negotiating down high-end downtowns and kabooms, I think it's a different conversation. I would imagine it's magnified. I think you see this when you look at, you know, most of the higher-end negotiations I see are like the king of cards, Kyle's Page, who does an outstanding job. Now, I think he's a class act, and so, you know, all of his stuff is going to be pretty straightforward and you know, like handled the correct way, but this is a step above that, right? Like we're talking millions, not like 20 or 30K. We're talking about millions of dollars. And I do think there is some level of assumptions that can probably be made when you're talking about assets, when it doesn't have to be cards. If we're talking about a business, if we're talking about, you know, whatever it might be that's worth that much, real estate. Like if a deal is in place at that level, like it probably should mean something.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I think though, if you're going to do that, I think that maybe if the rules do change a little bit based on the amount of the money, I think maybe then you, in order to procure the card, I think maybe you put something in writing beyond a text, beyond a DM. Okay, we've agreed on this deal. I'm going to have, because it's not a normal $50, $600 downtown, because we're talking about millions, I'm going to issue you this contract. I need you to sign it. And I think at that point, then you have a case. Then go sue him if he breaks the agreement.
Which I imagine Kevin O'Leary would have access to someone on his staff that could throw a contract up pretty quickly. I would guess. I'm just assuming here.
Yeah.
Now, there is an element of this that I do think is an important detail. And I don't know if it matters, but I do think it's worth noting. And you said it, but I want to zoom in on it. Is he's claiming, Kevin O'Leary's claiming, that the person who backed out of the deal used Leary's name as leverage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if that has any impact legally or, you know, whatever that, you know, falls into, but that does seem to be an important note in all of this. Because once again, it's a kind of a unique situation.
Yeah. And I think that from my take listening to it, he was making an assumption. He wasn't certain that happened, but he was assuming that it did. And you know what they say about assumptions, Zach?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
So who knows if that happened? I mean, is it logical that it could have, if the guy could have grabbed the card and grabbed the text and said, "Hey man, here's your opportunity," and use Kevin's name to drive the price. Kevin O'Leary's ready to spill money over this thing. So, I mean, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for you as a buyer. That has to mean something just based on Kevin's celebrity and his clout. It has to sweeten the urgency, sweeten the deal and pump up the urgency for you. If you have the millions of dollars to spend, to think, "Oh, geez, I can get O'Leary's card. O'Leary wants this card." I mean, It's a logical assumption, but it's, at the end of the day, it's still an assumption. Can you prove that? I mean, I doubt it unless you're there with him and you see it, or you have some kind of evidence where the guy says, "Hey, thanks for letting me use your name, ha ha," or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So,
but interesting story for sure.
Yeah. And knowing, you know, Kevin O'Leary's involvement, I think we'll know how it unfolds. So,
yeah, certainly so.
There we go.
That's fun to talk about.
Man, Topps announcing Topps Chrome Football. And like, we don't have to wait that long. I mean, in fact, we're recording this on April 3rd. You can pre-order later today, which is fun. But April 15th is when it publicly drops. Mm-hmm. And just looking at some of the cards that they showed on their Instagram and social pages yesterday, it looks incredible, Jamie.
You're excited about this. You're really excited about the Topps Chrome.
I think a lot of people are. I don't think I'm alone on this.
No, I don't think you are. I look at this a little differently. Am I excited about the cards? Yeah. I think about it from a monopoly standpoint. You and I were talking a few moments ago, and now Topps has the license for all three major sports in the United States, Major League Baseball, NBA, and now the NFL. And so even though I'm excited about the cards, and I certainly will be going after some of these cards, just like everyone else, the fairness part, the justice part of my brain is asking, is this good for the hobby that one company has all three major sports?
I mean, I guess my argument to that is like, okay, you're saying for as far as like quality control and pricing, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, the last 2 years, Panini's biggest product, Football Prism, really Basketball Prism too, but I'll lean more Football Prism for the example. Like, the quality control has been awful. It's been terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
And then like you look at what Topps Chrome has been since they've come out, like it's been pretty decent for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
So like Panini having these big things, like Panini never really seemed like they cared.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know it's because they weren't getting the contracts? So they're just pumping out a bunch of wax. Maybe so.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was like inherently great the way it was. Now, I love some of the Panini's products. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Prism's classic, right? And I still think Prism will carry a little bit of weight even when it's unlicensed, because I think Panini's better at handling unlicensed stuff than Topps is. Mm. But Yeah, I just think the brand of Topps Chrome is going to be, so it's going to be electric.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thinking about what you're saying, two thoughts come to mind. One, I believe it was the last NBA prism that had so many problems or bubbles, or, you know, there was just print lines and different things, if I'm remembering correctly. Maybe it was the football. It was this last run of prism.
Last year's football was crazy bad.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. The rookie quarterbacks, you know, the silver prisms. It was just problem after problem. The gym rate for those was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, thinking about it from that perspective, Topps Chrome has produced better quality control, and that is exciting. Question though, does the licensing going to Topps exclusively for the three major sports, what does that do for your downtowns, for your older cards that were licensed? Do you think it has an impact on the value of those cards, or do you think they just kind of tread water as they are?
I think it probably depends on what it is, right? I mean, you could say the same stuff about like older Topps Chrome stuff, like your older Topps Chrome Tom Brady's have always gone up in value, but you know, most of the stuff doesn't. I think it's going to be similar with, you know, Panini's case hits or, you know, low numbered stuff. I think it probably depends on who the player is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if you look at like some of the unlicensed downtowns for Shohei Ohtani, like that card's exploded. That card has gone through the absolute roof.
Yeah.
That's probably going to happen, you know, regardless. You know, if Tom Brady's on it, he's going to do well. You know, if some of these quarterbacks are on it now, if Patrick Mahomes is on it, it's probably going to do well. So to me, I do wonder if Panini will kind of go like the route that Leaf has done, where they'll get like some incredible patches and all that. I think Panini's photography and like design is better than Leaf's. And once again, like Panini has done a good job with their unlicensed baseball products. And baseball collectors seem to be more okay with some of this than other sports for whatever reason. It's probably like more of the true like collecting aspect of it. Yeah. But I don't know, like they've handled the unlicensed stuff better than Topps has. So I'm curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an anomaly when it comes to license. You know, a lot of people are married to the license. I'm married to the player, you know, when it comes to the pursuit. If I see a Shohei Ohtani and it's unlicensed, I don't care. I mean, it's Shohei. You know, his name and his stature supersedes the license. But some people are very particular about that. A lot of people, actually. They're like, they won't touch it.
Right.
Yeah, right. They will not touch it. I've never really kind of understood that myself. I'm like, look, a great card is a great card. If that's his signature, like my 8-card auto from Leaf Metal. I mean, you've got Messi and Curry and Floyd Mayweather and Michael Phelps and Josh Allen, just to name 5 of the 8.
Crazy.
I don't care. I don't care if that's unlicensed.
They signed
an amazing card.
Yeah, they signed the card. That's right.
That's them. That's them.
Right.
So
I had a chance to buy I came close to buying an Anthony Edwards Leaf 1 of 1 auto. The issue is he was treating it like a true 1 of 1, and I'm like, Leaf has, there's like 7 1-of-1s in that set or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, I think the comps you're using aren't entirely accurate or fair. So we were a good bit off, but we talked about it back and forth for several messages. We were both wanting to get the deal done, but yeah, like it looked good. The picture was taken in a way where like the logo not being on there didn't like make the card look cheap or cheesy, which I think is important. I think the angle and the photography in those cards is more important because of that, especially in basketball. You know, you want them either turning or you want them catching the basketball over where the logo would be, which we've seen some of those pictures come out with of Donruss unlicensed Donruss basketball. And a lot of the pictures are like that. Like Topps didn't really, they don't seem to do that. Panini does. So, you know, give Panini credit. there. I want to list a few of the dual autos that are in Topps Chrome. Tell me which one you would prefer.
Okay.
The super fractor of this one was one of the pictures or one of the cards that they shared. But Josh Allen, Jim Kelly, dual auto.
Okay.
I think Brock Bowers, Tyler Warren is interesting. Young tight ends headed to the future. Emeka Egbuka and Matthew Golden on a dual auto.
Okay.
Drake May, Travion Henderson. Of course, I want that one. It's a Pats guy.
Yeah.
Bucky Irving, sure. Emeka Egbuka. I love this one. Ashton Jeanty, Cam Scataboo.
I think that might be the one, Zach.
That one's
Yeah. Does it show a picture of it?
No, I'm just looking at the checklist. Another duel was Davante Adams, Puka Nacua. That's sick.
Yeah.
And then probably the one that'll sell for the most outside of the Josh Allen, Jim Kelly one. That one might be more. But the Cam Scataboo, Jackson Dart duel, that thing is going to go through.
That will be big. Jackson Dart and Scataboo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Duel. That's the big one there for sure. Does it list on the checklist how many there are? Does it give you a count?
No, it doesn't have variations on here, I don't think. No, okay. I don't see that. Then they've got something called NFL Honors Gold Shield. And they've got Gold Shield and they've got Gold Shield autographs. We're assuming those are all one of ones, but Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Jared Verse, Pat Surtain, and Saquon Barkley. Those will do pretty well. And then just looking at some of the veterans that sign in this, like Tom Brady does sign in this.
That's exciting.
Antonio Gates, Andre Johnson, Brett Favre. I'm trying to go through this. Yeah. Not everyone. Darrell Revis, John Elway, Michael Strahan, Peyton Manning, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss.
Wow.
T.O., Troy Polamalu. That's super, super fun.
Nice.
A.J. Yeah. Green, Adrian Peterson, Drew Brees, Ed Reed. It's so fun. So Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork. I think that'd be cool as a Pats guy. I don't really have any Vince Wilfork cards, so that'd be cool. But I'm so excited about this product.
Yeah, I mean, how can you, if you're Tops, how can you not secure Bo Jackson on these Legends autos? I kept waiting for you to say Bo. I was hoping.
Yeah, let me make sure he's not in here.
Be nice if he was.
So he's on a card. There's an insert called Legends of the Gridiron.
Okay.
And he is there. That's his only card according to this. I don't think it's an auto or anything though.
That's too bad.
What if it's because he has his own card thing going on?
Maybe so. Maybe the battle arena. But I don't know that I've seen. I'm certain he has autographs within that series, but I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, I haven't looked at any of that stuff.
So we've got some travel coming up, buddy.
We do. I'm going up to your neck of the woods, bringing the fam. Going to the show's called Hobbyverse up in Huntsville. Yeah. You've done this show before. I have not. You've talked about it in high regard, but heading there. That'll be next week. And what, the 11th, April 11th, I believe.
The 11th. Yeah, we'll be set up. If you happen to be in the Huntsville area, come see Zach and me. Auburn Cards will be up there buying, selling, trading. We'll have hopefully we'll get two tables, but if not, we'll have one and we'll make it work. And come sell us your stuff. Come introduce yourself.
Sports, Pokemon, high end, low end. We want all of it.
Yeah, that's right. For sure.
Cool. All right, that does it for another edition of Let's Talk Cards. He's Jamie Crossan. I'm Zach Blackerby.